We got the gang back together.
Oh, it's been like so long since I've seen all three of you.
I know.
It's been a minute.
Yes, it has. But this is the beginning of the end of season two.
What?
The tournament arc.
Final mitts, baby.
Woo! Disclaimer. We do not own or claim ownership of the Pokemon franchise and any Pokemon established in official canon. That's all owned by Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures. This is just a podcast made by four friends who love Pokemon. It's our love letter to a franchise most of us grew up with. So please go support the official release.
Previously on PKM and Legacy.
We need to take out Oto. I have a plan to that end. I'd like you to be a part of it.
In just 2 weeks' time, the King of the Mountain Brawl tournament will be held.
You can design costumes for your friends and any other contenders who consent.
I will gladly take the job.
Emberly of the Elite Four. Wild red hair, wearing something between street and shrine maiden. Half of her face horribly scarred.
Hey.
Why is an Elite Four in this tournament?
You're doomed.
The tournament will follow a randomly decided 16-seed elimination bracket. Same event structure as your tryouts.
Camilla wants to meet with all of us before the tournament starts.
Oh.
Go over battle plans and stuff.
Chris, one thing you did with Primeape is you crafted together your own item.
Mm-hmm.
I now present to you the stat block for the heavy-ass training weights.
Yo!
You literally named him the heavy-ass training weights. I love you.
Freaking awesome.
So while a Pokemon wears these weights, their dexterity is reduced by 2 points. You can swap them onto an opponent with a move like Switcheroo or Trick or Fling. For Victor's case during this tournament, since he doesn't know those moves, you may use an action to either drop them or to try and put them onto another target.
Cool.
When you do, your dexterity resets and your strength increases by 2 points.
Get swole.
Yay! He's gonna have his Rock Lee moment!
It is the eve of the King of the Mountain Brawl tournament.
The night before the storm.
The streets are swarming with tourists and spectators. The hotels are jam-packed, but before you can rest up for tomorrow, you three are summoned by Camilla to Mason's office to talk shop. You're all crowded in the office space. You three, Camilla, Mason, AJ, Emily, and Emberly. I know you all have a lot to prepare for. I'll try to keep this brief. 2 weeks ago, I asked you to help me in my plan to take down the Cult of Nuzlocke.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, season two has been 2 weeks in-game. Up to beating Vicky at the museum, that's week one.
Yeah.
And your downtime in Newtontown all training, that's been week two.
2 weeks?
Man, time really is an illusion.
Sorry, continue.
Before we move on, I just want to make sure you're still with me.
Yeah, I think so.
As far as I know.
You will always have my help. I mean, what am I going to do? Just let Oto do his thing?
You don't even need to ask me. Mason cracks his muscles in agreement. AJ nods. Emberly gives a Cheshire grin and a thumbs up. Thank you. By the time this tournament's over, we'll have put an end to this cult once and for all.
What?
I've been fighting this war for the last 15 years. I know how they think. They're going to use this tournament as a trap. We're going to turn the trap on them.
Doesn't that seem kind of dangerous? I mean, there are going to be civilians at the tournament.
Yes, and I've taken every precaution and then some. The Jennies will be out in full force, and security from MogulCorp will assist in every way they can.
Sure, but this is safer than just postponing?
If we postpone or shut down this tournament, we lose our best chance. The cult sneaks away. They regroup, their plans accelerate, and like every other criminal team out there, they'll reach some climactic point of no return that puts the entire region in jeopardy. I'm not saying there aren't any risks involved, but no matter what we do, there is going to be danger, and I'd rather take care of it here and now while we have the home field advantage.
Okay. Maddie just kind of looks uncertain.
What is the possibility that this might not go as planned?
There's always going to be a non-zero chance of variation.
Non-zero? Look, I mean, I hate the cult too. But you're talking about using my town as bait. I mean, come on, man.
Camilla looks around, reads the room. She takes out a piece of paper and starts writing. Mason, I need you to act as an official league witness.
Okay. For what?
She finishes signing the document. If even one civilian is harmed during our takedown of the cult, I will step down as champion of the Appalachian region.
Oh, I don't know if that's completely necessary.
I'm not here to endanger anyone, but the cult needs to be dealt with. And if my title as collateral is what it takes to prove that, then I believe it is very much necessary.
You really mean business about this.
That tends to be my default. Speaking of business, let's get down to it. The cult is most likely to strike at the apex of the event, when viewership is at its peak. It makes for a very tempting audience for Oto to share his message with.
So you mean like right at the very final battle? Like right after?
Right, like, I don't know, I'm getting like this vision in my head of like, oh, they get to the trophy, and then it's like, stop, you know?
Like one of those pokey soap operas.
Yeah, like that.
So the title match with a one-round margin of error.
Right, right.
We stay vigilant in the meantime, and if we come across anything suspicious, we deal with it quickly and quietly. The last thing we need is the citizens in a panic.
So, I'm not competing. So what do you need me to do?
While Chris and Velma fight their matches, I'd like you to keep an eye on things behind the scenes. That goes for everyone, really, assuming you're not already occupied in the ring.
I think we can manage that.
Shouldn't be too hard.
And then there's Maxine. I'm not sure what role she has in their plan, or even if she is still with them after her defeat. Either way, we are keeping a close eye on her.
So, I may have talked to Maxine.
Why, is that what you were doing?
Let me explain myself, please.
No, it's fine. I want to know what's going on. Give me the tea.
Spill it!
I tried to get Maxine to come over to the good guy's side, and the conversation was very one-sided. What did she say? She wishes to see me succeed in the tournament long enough so she can break me.
Yeah, sounds like her.
Sorry, that's just very on-brand.
Yeah, I know, right? I think she might have quite a vendetta against myself and subsequently you two, so I'm very sorry.
No, that's okay. Surprise, I'm not surprised.
What about me? I'm the one who interrupted their little fight club.
You're the youngest one here. It's like, no offense, but that would just be like, girl, chill on her end, you know?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm older than Velma. Also, why Chris instead of specifically you? I mean, you're the one who broke her arm.
Well, I guess.
Well, she kind of did make mention of that, so...
She did?
Well...
I was hoping maybe she wouldn't remember.
Oh, she has an eidetic memory.
That's great for me!
So, you know, be happy you're not in the tournament, Maddie.
You know what's funny about that is that now I could be attacked not in front of everyone. She could get me backstage.
Camilla, you did say we'd have a lot of Officer Jennies out there, right?
She won't be able to sneeze without us knowing it.
Okay.
And for good measure, this is also one of the main reasons I asked Emberly to join the tournament.
Oh, is that one of those competitors?
Yes, Emberly of the Elite Four.
She's competing?
And she's been sitting next to you the entire time.
Oh,
hello. Hi.
Maddie zoned out.
I know you were doing, like, you know, aura, you know, hex maniac thing, so...
No, I was just panicking a little bit. Oh, that kind of seems unfair. I don't know about that.
Maybe. But I don't think you'll mind as much if I'm the one facing Maxine.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm not judging. It just caught me by surprise, that's all.
So if Maxine's... Do you think she's gonna try and fight him to get back in?
Maxine fight Oto to get back into the cult. It's a possibility.
It's interesting you say that because that's a thought that went across my head and I've been training to make sure there was some kind of upper edge I would have against her and her Lucario, but you remember her lovely Lucario that is very, very strong?
Yeah, I thought that...
Yeah, she got rid of it.
What? Like, released it? Or like... boxed it forever, or like...
Her Lucario understood the rules, broke the rules, and she released him for good.
Well, she could have at least given him to us.
I mean, it's better than the alternative.
I trained Victor to be sort of like something to be an upper edge against her Lucario. But now that she doesn't have her Lucario, I don't know what Pokemon she's entering into this tournament. It could be anything. It could be another Jewel type we don't know about. A stronger one.
Camilla sits up. Mason, you have files on all the contenders, don't you?
Yeah, and the Pokemon they're registered with.
Oh, that's a good idea. We should check that.
Look, I still got a tournament to run here. Gotta keep some things fair. If a contender wants to keep their Pokemon under wraps until the moment they walk onto the arena, that's within the rules.
What if you just tell me? Because I'm not going... I'll say nothing. I'm not even competing. I'll just, like, if it's something that they need to know to be prepared for, then... I will give hints.
Maddie, you may have good intentions here, but you are trying to convince him to go against his sense of ethics and morals, so cool plus perform.
1 out of 1. Couldn't have gone any better.
I like you guys, but this just doesn't jive with me.
Isn't this, like, a safety concern? Like,
Newton Town's a safe haven, and the trainers here, no matter where they come from, are protected. If she's causing trouble, I'll throw her to the Lichen Rocks myself. But so far, she's been playing ball this whole time.
Yeah, but you guys are, like, good actors, right?
I mean, I am. Not sure about you guys. Look, if it means anything, matchups are randomly decided. They won't be revealed until the opening match. But you three...
points to Chris, Velma, and Emily...
are not likely to face Maxine in the opening round.
Are you blinking under the eye patch?
You'll never know.
Chris looks over to Mason and he... gives him a look before he starts smiling, and he's like, Mason?
Yeah?
I need you to do me a solid. You owe me one solid.
Are you talking about what I think you're talking about?
I think you know what I'm talking about.
He glances at AJ for a brief second, then goes back to you. Cool plus intimidate.
Ooh! I don't think I've really done intimidate like that before, or at least not that often. Jesus, 4 out of 6.
Ooh!
I guess you did stop my wife from making me go boom.
That's right. Come on, buddy. For your best buddy, Hellhound Duo.
Everybody, plug your ears and go la 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 la.
What? Do you want me to actually do that?
Just do it!
Wait, why don't you just go into the whisper chat?
Fine, but you better keep doing it until we get back.
No. Chi-Chi, let's play a prank on them for when they get back. When they come back, we start going la la la.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mason leans in real close.
All right, still not going to tell you exactly what it is, because I'm no rat thing.
I see.
Victor would normally have an easy go at this, but if all you have is fighting type moves, then you're probably not going to have a ghost of a chance.
Normal ghost rat thing? Is it anything we would have seen in Hoenn?
Oh, no, it's Appalachian-born and bred. Allegedly.
Thanks for that solid, buddy. Really appreciate you.
Okay, no more special treatment during the tournament, right? We're even now?
Yeah, we're even, Steven.
How's life for you, Chi-Chi?
Little up, little down, but overall doing good.
Good. Sorry that's a little down, but at least there's some ups.
Yeah.
La 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 la.
Okay, that's enough. Everybody stop la la la.
We were definitely doing that the whole time.
Absolutely.
So, I've got to do a little bit of training before going to bed tonight.
Wait, did you get told what the Pokemon was? That's so unfair. I'm not even competing.
Myself and Mason are even Steven after he did that solid for me, and I have to uphold my oath.
Don't know what he's talking about. I didn't say nothing.
You know what? That's true. My old age is just making my brain remember things differently. I'm so sorry. But Maddie.
What?
Please, whatever you do. Do not use your power to try to figure out what's in this head of mine.
Oh, well, that would surely be unethical.
What's that now? What powers?
Oh, sorry. You know, she has this, like,
no,
she's very intuitive.
No, my powers of suggestion. He's just basically taunting me because he knows I'll never get the answer.
Hold on a second. If you got powers and you couldn't get them to work on me to tell you,
I must got powers of my own!
Very, very special. Especially gifted.
Oh, AJ, think of a number! Don't tell me what it is yet! You thinking it yet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Is it 7?
Got it in 1, honey.
Yes!
Oh!
Is AJ being serious? Because I don't know if I can tell with her deadpan face.
Insight check.
Oh, God.
True love?
True love? Question mark? 1 out of 3?
It was 2.
Oh, no. No. Aww. Come on.
So, as the meeting wraps up, Camilla has you three stay behind while everyone else leaves. Maddie, I know you haven't had a chance to log in and check on Minun in a while, but I wanted you to know the research is going surprisingly well.
Good.
We'll be attempting to restore him back to normal tomorrow.
What?
During the match.
That's amazing! What have you found? Can you tell me anything?
Unfortunately, I haven't had time to look over all their findings. This whole affair is running me a bit ragged.
Oh, okay.
Once this tournament is over, I'll have someone send you a report.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. Things have been so busy that I didn't even realize how much time had passed.
Speaking of time, Chris, I remember you convincing Angel to transfer here so she could help you out with some reconnaissance work. It's been 1 week. If you have nothing for her to help you with, then I do
have one thing. Can you have her check to see if there's a Lucario near the sort of mountain cliffside area? If she finds a Lucario that looks to be kind of gritted and a little bit unfriendly, but kind of looks like they're searching for someone or something, please let me know.
Scouting for Maxine's Lucario, then. I'll pass the word along.
Thank you.
Hey, Kay here. Welcome back to the bonus... Not the bonus tidbits. Pause menu. I am out of practice. Okay. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. If you'd like to support the show, we got rewards, like, that we'll give you if you join the Patreon. I am out of practice. That wasn't even ad-libbing. That was just me. God damn. Okay. Anyway, we got a Patreon. You can support the show that way. Get rewards like your name in the end credits of the YouTube releases, access to behind-the-scenes bonus tidbits, or for our Ultra Baller tier patrons. I'm keeping all this in. For our Ultra Baller tier patrons, you get your name mentioned by me right here in the pause menu. Special thanks to Bamboori, Cammy Cat, Cinder Slime, Cybernetic Pink Guy, Danny Deathheart, D Money, Donkey Odo, Doodle Boy, Javon, Jonathan Jesus Macias, Key NT, Old King Cole, Red Phoenix 2412, Renamon Music Box Brony, Trace Hartley, and Unoriginal. So yeah, big thank you to them and all our patrons. You can also support the show via word of mouth. Use the hashtag PKMNLegacy when you post on Blue Sky or Twitter. Leave a good comment on our YouTube releases or a good review wherever you find this podcast. And if I come across that, then I might use your name for one of the names of our NPCs. And now I shall go through a whole list of a whole lot of NPCs that appear in this episode. This should be fun. We got Camilla, named after Cammy Cat on Patreon, AJ, named after @AJWhereArtThou on Twitter, Finn Flynn, reporting for the win, named after Infinity the Labo from Patreon, Felton, named after Feltheleb from Patreon, Alioth the Blue, named after @SnowWizardVT on Twitter, Bot, named after HelperBot on YouTube, T, named after @OohHeyIt'sT from Twitter, Horton Timms, named after @TimHorton89 on Twitter, Knight Rend, named after @RenNightwing on Twitter, Liz, named after Liz from @IronEchoGames on Twitter. Chu, named after @MrChu1354 on YouTube. Your boy Boyd, named after DoodleBoy from Patreon. And Just Kidding, named after JesterLord from Patreon. God, I hope I did not forget any of the NPCs that appear in this episode, but yeah, thanks for supporting the show. And before I forget, special thanks to John Roberts VA for reprising the role of Mason, and for RubyCast for reprising the role of Emberly. You can find links to their stuff in the description below. Hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday season. I'll see you in the next episode, but until then, enjoy the rest of this one. Unpause. Velma, you are in your own separate dressing room, prepping with Goonie. You see the costume that Maddie has made for you and left you.
you see a glammed up version of your usual evil uniform outfit. The green jacket has become a slick white. The lining of the jacket is the shiny, sickly neon green, and your pink tank top is sparkling, baby. And as you apply the extra volume substance to your hair, give it the extra heft, put on your pointy Gurren Lagann style glasses.
Yes! Yes!
With the magnifying attachments on it, you click a button on it, the glasses light up in that sort of anime evil villain pose. You can't see anything but the light coming from the glasses. You're looking bad.
I look so cool!
Yay! Am I here?
Well, I guess you are now.
Oh, it came out so great! Do you like it?
Oh, you did so good!
Oh, yay, I'm so glad.
Whoa, you made this, Maddie?
Hey, Chris, you would not be here.
Oh, I would
Maddie
be
may
up.
Be helping with final fitting, but this is a ladies' changing room.
Oh! I'm sorry. No, hold on.
Ghost party?
And as you focus up, ready for your match, Maddie, you head over to Chris. He is currently getting into his outfit. It's a modified old magma outfit, but with a purple Under Armour layer. The vest piece has been changed from a dark red with an M on it to a bright, brilliant crimson with a purple C on it. And his scarf is currently being worn like a flowing in the breeze heroics type style.
Maddie's also adjusting his hair to give it Disco Daddy volume.
Oh, thank you.
We had to give a little bit of an homage, you know?
This looks amazing.
You like it?
I love it. How did you do this?
We went to school for it, you know, still going to school for it, so.
He looks at himself in the mirror, he's like, I look like 2 years younger.
Well, that's because you feel good.
I feel great. I feel like I could do a backflip, but I won't.
Maybe you should style your hair like this more often.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, it looks good.
Oh. Huh. Maybe I'll go out on the town and try to find a new partner. Ha ha.
Don't you dare do Nurse Joy like that.
He looks to Victor. Buddy, you understand, right? The Nurse Joy and me is not a thing, right? Right?
He rolls his eyes and looks in the mirror as he makes sure his blue face paint is on just right.
See,
thanks, buddy.
You and Victor agree.
No, he neither agreed nor disagreed.
Okay.
Maddie, as you talk about Chris's potential love life, you get a ping on your C-gear.
Oh my god.
Emily, what was that?
Did you hear that?
What?
No, I can only hear your voice. What happened?
My mail pinged right when you said that. That was perfect.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh my god.
That's freaky.
Do, 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 do.
But yeah, you get a ping. Emily is ready to be fitted properly.
Okay, I got to go fit your daughter, so I will see you later.
Okay. Thanks again for this.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it, really.
Okay, so you head on over to Emily's dressing room. She's finishing putting everything on. Athletic wear that looks like a burning sunset with those oranges and pinks. Sports bandaging around her arms and hands. Headband on. Hair poofed up like a wild wooloo.
Oh, you look so good!
Puffy hair! Puffy hair!
Yes, it's perfect. What do you think?
I feel real powerful. Like I could kick the world's butt with this stuff on.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
What you think, Tater Tot? Do I look good or do I look good?
Tater Tot does his best effort to give the least menacing smile he can. 2 thumbs up.
Thank you so much, Maddie. I look amazing.
Oh, you're welcome. Break a leg out there, okay?
Or several.
Oh, yeah.
She's just like her mother.
We cut away from all three of you now and go to the arena proper. The seats are jam-packed. There is a deafening roar of the audience filling the entire stadium. And then...
Are you ready, Appalachia?
Guys and gals and non-binary pals, this is the King of the Mountain Brawl. I'm Finn Flynn reporting for the win. Next to me in the booth for some color commentary, we have Newtontown's own mayor, gym leader, and defending king of the mountain, the mighty Mace.
Happy to be here, Finn.
Now, we have 16 contenders here facing off against each other in single elimination matches. The last one standing gets to take Mason on in the ring, where they could win 25,000 credits, the cage badge, and the title of King of the Mountain. Now, Mason, shouldn't you be backstage preparing and training instead of sitting here on your tuchus with me?
Oh, I'm right where I need to be, brother. Right here in front of the action with the best crowd in the world.
You can hear the audience go nuts for the pandering.
No!
Now, up to this point, we don't know who's facing off against who. The audience doesn't know. The contestants don't know.
I don't even know.
Let's fix that right now, shall we? Let's take a look at the board. Looks like our first match, we have our top seed, Maxine, facing off against the mustachioed muscle man, Felton.
Then we got Aliot the Blue, Wizard of the North, facing off against Nurse Joy.
Which one?
I don't know.
Later on, we have our own Elite Four, Emberly, facing off against Bot, the man who thinks he's a robot.
Wait, is he though?
Only time will tell.
Closing out the red bracket, we got the Wandering Monk, Teeth, facing off against the Burgermeister of Deliciousville, Horton Tim.
Let's switch over to the blue brackets on the right side of the screen. We got our ebony-clad edgelord Nightwren facing off against young, spunky Spitfire Emily.
Then it's the Iron Maiden Liz up at arms against the Master Ninja Chu.
After that, evil genius Velma has her eyes set on ringside domination. But will ya boy Boyd have anything to say about it?
Wrapping things up for the night, it's the cute cutthroat clown Just Kidding versus the Crimson Crusader Chris.
Ooh. Crimson Crusader?
This will be interesting. Is it a clown?
All this action and more right around the corner. Don't you even think about going anywhere.
Since you two have the last two matches of the day, we'll just briefly go over what occurs during the other matches before yours. The first match against Maxine, I'll save that for later.
Oh.
Second match, Aliot the Blue and his Glalie Ponder. They were fearsome enough, but not enough to beat Chansey and Nurse Joy. Third match, Chris, this was hard to watch for you specifically, because Emberly fought alongside Fluffy, the Hisuian Arcanine.
Yo.
No. That's a gigantic Arcanine.
They both made extremely short work of Bot, the man who thinks he's a bot, and Pikachu, the Palmo who thinks he's a Pikachu. Fourth match, the young monk T and his Arctabax, Callie, were able to freeze Horton Timms and his Quagsire in place. Fifth match, Nightrend and his Fracture named Thorn did not even get to completely share their tragic backstory before Emily and Tater Tot absolutely crushed them.
That's my baby girl.
Sixth match. Chu and Burrito the Excel Gore were blisteringly fast. But surprisingly, Liz and Chuck the Bidoof
aww
came out on top.
But no Maxine yet.
Well, her match went first. I just wanted to get those out of the way so I could go in a bit more detail with Maxine's match. During that match, you see Felton, the bodybuilder, and Artie, the Machoke, make power poses after power poses, just grateful for the chance to engage in a rousing bout of pugilism. Maxine, on the other hand, very stoic, obviously does not share a need for showmanship like Felton does. And neither does the apostle she's fighting alongside with.
Huh?
Does it look like the apostle?
Maddie, you only know the one apostle, but considering how rare they are, it's very likely.
Oh, I knew I shouldn't have caught it back then.
You notice that the apostle mostly stands on the sidelines the entire match, letting Maxine do all of the fighting. But even despite the martial prowess of Artie and Felton, Maxine is focused. She's surgical. She's ruthless, and she comes out on top, downing both Artie and Felton. After that first match, the other five matches go as described, and then it's Velma time.
Oh boy.
Format's very similar to the tryouts. This first step is your entrance, your first impression with the crowd. Go ahead and roll cool or any social attribute plus perform. Goonie is going to give you two extra dice.
All right, modifier two.
Two out of four. Let's do it.
So just paint a word picture?
Paint me the word picture, Velma.
You just see smoke coming in this whole area. You see these little prop sets of like test tubes and like electric doohickeys going off. You see lightning bolts going for the flash on the stage. And then you just see the shadow of Velma's pigtails just rising up. And you hear her cackling laugh from across the stage with this echo just like... And you see Cocoon kind of circling around her as well within the smoke is rallying.
As the smoke gets in your lungs.
And as it dissipates, you see her kind of straighten up and kind of striking another pose. She just looks across and there's the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen and everything and everyone in between, are you ready
to experience the might of the superior genius!
Everyone goes nuts. Velma, your eyes turn to some kindergartners in the crowd who are holding up signs in support of Velma. And you realize they're the school kids you corrupted back in Brayburg.
Oh, hell God. Yeah. Let's go. Velma just kind of points at them and gives them the fingers and gives them a nice wink.
Down with the establishment. Down with the establishment.
That's what I like to hear.
The music dies down and it is replaced by this hardcore, almost butt rock groove. You see, decked in cargo shorts, t-shirt, gold-trimmed ball cap, ya boy Boyd and the Duke strut out onto the stage. Even though you're the evil genius, everyone is treating him like the heel. They are booing him, and he's just strutting his stuff.
Go on, boo at me. Be jealous. I'm built different. Get over it.
No.
The next part is the obstacle course. Whoever gets to the ring first gets a little boost in their upcoming match. The music goes silent. You take your marks. The bell rings. Looks like the first obstacle is the Pillars of Doom. They're going to have to dash across these long, unstable pillars. One wrong move, though, and it's a heck of a drop into the foam pits below, and a heck of a lead for their opponent. Velma, Goonie, you see the pillars before you. How are you going to approach this?
So what I think Velma and Goonie are going to do is they're going to try and three-legged race it, hanging onto each other and kind of hopping in tandem with each other to keep the balance up and make their way across.
Dexterity plus athletic. You roll for Velma, I'll roll for Goonie.
All right.
2 out of 3 for Velma, 3 out of 5 for Goonie. You work in tandem, just hopping across. You almost topple over one pillar. Using your momentum, you sort of domino effect the pillars and just run across as they cascade down and make it to the other side.
Nice.
The Duke has a bit of a harder time, but sort of just hops over along with it. Boyd, ya boy, may be muscular, but he skipped leg day. It's a struggle, but he does make it to the other side.
Time for Balance Beam Barrage! Contenders gotta walk across this narrow 30-foot long beam. Meanwhile, our crew members are gonna try and chuck some dodgeballs right in their faces and knock them off.
And you see some stagehands at the side with Pokeball-colored dodgeballs at the ready.
Aw. Yeah, nice. We're gonna have Goonie going as the main lead, and then we'll follow after them so that they kind of have a head up and how to move and dodge through everything.
So you're just gonna dodge and weave?
Dodge and weave.
Dexterity plus evasion. With your permission, I'll have Goonie do a will point.
Yeah, go for it.
That's a 1 out of 6 to a 4 out of 6 now for Goonie.
Ooh.
Would you like to use a will point?
Yeah, why not?
Woo! 3 out of 4 and a 4 out of 6. Very nice. The stagehands are having a hard time hitting you both physically and morally. Paint me the rest of the word picture.
Question.
Answer.
Does it count if they hit the hair?
They're not trying to tag you. They're trying to knock you down into the foam pit below.
Okay, so in this case, what ends up happening is that they're dodging and weaving, and they have some close calls. What ends up happening is that Velma kind of shifts her head a little bit, and it makes it so the dodgeballs kind of just hit in. She buffers them away.
For Boyd and the Duke, one dodgeball knocks the Duke off of the thing. Boyd gets mad.
Oh, you think that's funny, you little son of a bitch?
Catches one of the dodgeballs, hurls it back at this stagehand, knocks him into the foam pit himself.
Oh.
Velma's got quite the lead on Boyd, and she's going to need it. Now she faces the deadlift, a heavy-weighted wall she's going to need to lift up and crawl under to get through.
So unless you got some crazy idea up your sleeve, it's going to be strength plus athletic.
I do have an idea. I want to try to use the dust blaster to give us a little extra oomph, kind of shoop it up.
Like a Team Fortress 2 rocket jump sort of thing?
Yeah.
This would be strength plus science. And I'll have Goonie just roll strength plus athletic.
Science, baby!
2 out of 4 for Velma, 3 out of 5 for Goonie. Cocoon lifts it up a bit of the way. You sort of crawl yourself under there. You aim it at the ground. You rocket up with the wall a bit, just to... faintly, enough for Cocoon to just skitter under there, pull you out like Puss in Boots pulling out his hat from underneath the shutting door.
All right!
And it slams shut behind you. Boyd is mostly all muscle. He can easily deadlift this deadlift wall. But because of your lead, by the time he gets through there, you're already in the ring. You can take your time, look around, see the entire crowd around you, as I load in this ringside battle map.
Haha!
Oh.
Whoa.
For those listening at home, I have about 50 or 60 NPC tokens of trainers and Pokemon sitting all in the stands around the ring.
Oh my god,
itself.
Every single...
Smash meme. Everyone's here.
It's everybody.
Dang, okay.
By the way, you get a will point for getting to the ring first.
Woo!
Boyd and the Duke finally step into the ring, take center stage.
Okay, listen up, Buttercup. Your boy Boyd, he built different. He ain't ageist. He ain't sexist. He's gonna crush this little girl just like I'ma crush every chump who steps up to your boy Boyd.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Are we really resorting to petty insults right now?
Well, if that's the case, you girls got brains over your brown! Let's go! Let's go! Woo, woo, woo!
Guy, the gym guide, who's the referee here, steps up.
Okay, I want a clean fight here. We ain't stopping till there's tap out or knockout. And fight!
Let's see, Boyd got a 2 out of 4. The Duke got a 1 out of 5. What did you get?
Goonie got a 1. Velma got a 3.
Velma, you go first.
Velma's gonna take out her gun and do a little smoke screen effect with her Dust Blaster.
Holy smokes, folks, this girl is strapped.
Yeah, don't worry, it just blasts dust and stuff. We checked.
Rather than roll clever plus science, I have added a custom move for this tournament, so go ahead and roll accuracy for your Dust Blaster.
All right, sweet.
2 out of 5 will hit. Who you hit?
Boyd.
He coughs up a storm. Go ahead and roll the 3 chance dice, and we'll see if that effect actually lands. No dice. You blast. What the heck, good man?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Boyd, are you... Boyd's dying.
Who does that? They can't even see my beautiful face. I'm just mewed. All right, Boyd, it's not mind over matter. It's matter over mind, because you matter.
And he's going to try and bulk up. 1 out of 6 will land. His muscles get bigger. His strength and defense increase by 1. That is Goonie's turn.
We're going to hit the Duke up with some Fury Swipes.
2 out of 2 will land. Well, for damage, defense is 3. Oh, no dice in the pool left, so minimum 1 point of damage. Now, Fury Swipes is a successive action, meaning you can screw the turn order and just go again right now.
All right, we'll do it again.
You'll need 2 or more. Not going to cut it. Hi, Editor K here from somewhere in Season 3. Just wanted to let you know, when we recorded this, we did not know that Goonie's dexterity was set much lower than it should have been. So just know that for most of Season 2, Goonie is playing unknowingly nerfed. We figure this out later on, I don't know exactly when, but until then... sorry. Goonie slices in once, but the Crocker Rock ducks under the second blow.
Alright, the Duke hit him back with a mud slap.
1 out of 3.
We are going to clash.
Okay, you're going to need 3 or more to succeed. And what move are you using to attack with?
Disarming voice.
Gotcha. That's going to be special plus clash. No dice. The Duke looks like it was going to be worried by that fairy type hit, but he just flings the mud true, and it clogs up Goonie's throat, and he spits it out. That's going to hit him for... just 1 point of damage, but your accuracy is reduced by 1. So, next round comes. Velma, what you do?
So Velma at first is like, why you want to... You know what? No, if you like slinging mud, but I have a little more class than that. And she hits him up with an endure.
Okay, roll for accuracy. 1 out of 5. You brace yourself for the rest of this round. You cannot go lower than 1 HP, unless it's like a status ailment or weather or something like that.
Okie dokie.
Boyd's turn. You see him winding up his fist, and he keeps winding it up, and winding it up, and winding it up. This is a focus punch. You would know if you do not hit him before the next round, he's going to hit for some serious damage. Goonie's turn.
So does it have to be Pokemon hits Pokemon, people hits people, or can it go either way?
Go either way. Your Pokemon can sick this guy.
All right, Goonie's going to let out a growl on this guy.
Go ahead and roll for accuracy. That'll just reduce his strength if you do so.
Okay.
4 out of 4 will hit. The strength of both the Duke and Boyd decreased by 1. You nullified his bulk up.
Nice.
But that still does not stop the incoming focus punch. Meanwhile, it is the Duke's turn.
He is going to go for a... You know what? He's going to try and bite you, Velma. He's coming over the Champia. He's coming to get ya. 2 out of 5 will hit unless you're going to try and evade or clash.
Ah, we will evade.
3 or more. 4 out of 4. He comes for the chomp. You just duck out of the way. Doesn't even get the antenna. Any additional actions from you, Velma?
We'll do Dust Blaster.
That will land. Go ahead and roll the effect spores.
Ooh, my tummy feel funny.
He is poisoned. No additional actions from Boyd. Any additional actions from Goonie?
Power cord.
2 out of 2 will do. He lets out a killer riff, man. Yours and his strength and special are boosted by 1 point each. Boyd takes a tick of damage from the poison, but he has not taken any direct damage from either of you. Top of the round, you have 1 shot to deal direct damage to Boyd before he lands his focus punch. Velma, it is your turn.
We're going to use an indoor.
Oh, clever. Okay. You've already used it before, so let me look up the rules for shield moves real quick if you use it again. Okay, you used your Dust Blaster before this, but you did use it last round. You're going to need to get 3 or more to land this endure.
Okay.
2 out of 5. You're going to use will point?
Yeah, we'll use will point.
And that's boosted up to a 3.
Woo!
And just in time, because with a 3 out of 6, Boyd's focus punch is going to land. Dice pool of 9, your defense is 3.
Ooh!
A full 6 out of 6 for damage. Just lets loose force so powerful you are knocked 15, 20 feet to the other side of the ring. You almost faint on the spot, but you still have 1 hit point remaining. You are still in the fight. And that brings us to Goonie.
Goonie's going to use a disarming voice on the Duke.
1 out of 3, and that's going to hit both the Duke and Boyd.
All right.
Go ahead and roll for damage. Their defenses are 3. All right, Goonie lets out a face screech. Both are buffeted back. Boyd takes 1 point of damage. The Duke takes a super effective 2. At this point, Duke's about half health. Boyd is looking a bit slightly hardier. The Duke is going to unleash a bite attack on Goonie.
Are we able to evade?
Yes, but let me roll the accuracy first. 2 out of 5. You need to get a 3 or more to evade or clash. That will do it.
Woo!
Goonie slides out of the way. Doesn't even get the fluff of his tail. Any additional actions?
Can Velma use her Dust Blaster?
You just used it. You can hit him.
Okay, we'll just go for a basic.
Wait, did you just use it? No, you just endured this round. You didn't use your Dust Blaster. Go ahead and roll for the Dust Blaster.
All right. And we're going to be aiming at the Duke.
3 out of 5 will land even on your second action. Go ahead and roll those chance dice. No effect. You just clog his throat up. Boyd's going to try and hit you again. 3 out of 4. He hits you and it hurts. But you still stay up for the sheer willpower. Endure.
Also, does he feel the poison at all?
At the end of the round, yes, he does.
Okay.
Top of the round, Velma.
All right. Velma's going to go for a basic attack on Boyd.
Okay. 1 out of 3 will land. Defense is 3. Damage pool is reduced to 0, but you still hit him for the minimum 1 point of damage.
Woo!
That tickles, but this won't.
And he's going to charge up another focus punch. Goonie's turn.
We're going to go for some fury swipes against the Duke.
2 out of 2 will land. Minimum 1 point of damage as you swipe into him. Would you like to swipe him again?
Yes.
All right, going to need 2 out of 2 for this one. 1 out of 2. You just whiff it. The Duke, however, will not take lightly to your antics and will hit Goonie again with a mud slap. Oh, I forgot to do the accuracy reduction from the attacks from... it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
1 out of 3. That will land for 2 points of damage, and now we'll say that you're blinded for the mud.
All right.
Any additional actions?
Can we use a disarming voice?
Yes, you can. You need 3 out of 3 to land it. All right, go ahead and roll the damage. Defense is 3. You hit the Duke for 2 points of damage, Boyd for 1. And you see him stagger. He flinches from that. The focus punch is off the tables now. At the end of the round, Duke takes another tick of health. Everyone, you, Boyd, the Duke, are looking on your last leg. You are exhausted. Meanwhile, Goody just munches on his leftovers. Delicious. 1 point of health.
Woo.
top of the round, Velma.
We're gonna do this in style with a dust blast.
3 out of 5 will hit. Who are you hitting?
We're hitting Boyd on this one.
Go ahead and roll the chance dice. And now he's paralyzed.
Why can't I move?
That's the ranch thieving in.
Oh, come on. I was on keto. You're, like, evil or something.
And don't forget it. And we're going to be using Fury Swipes on the Duke.
One swipe into the Duke, and he goes down on the mat. KO.
Oh, snap, son.
That just leaves Boyd. Any additional actions, Velma?
Additional action is we're going to go in with a basic attack.
Okay, you're going to need the 2 or more to beat it.
Dang it.
1 out of 3 will not do. Boyd struggles a bit. 1 second. Status conditions. Paralysis. He loses 2 dexterity points. Okay, good to know. He's reduced to almost no dexterity. Okay. All right. Boyd is going to try his best to land a basic attack on you. He needs a perfect roll here.
He tries to swipe at you.
It moves so slowly, you just step out of the way. And at the end of the round, he just passes out from the poison.
And down. And he strikes like a JoJo pose. And that's what happens when you interfere with genius!
The crowd goes knucking futs. Guy steps into referee.
We got knockout. The winner is Velma and Goonie.
Oh, shit, son. Velma did it.
That's what I'm talking about.
What a match, folks. Looks like Brain really does beat Brawn, because that little genius is moving on to the next round.
But who's she facing? The clown queen of comedy, GS Kidding? Or the Crimson Crusader, Chris? That match coming up right after the break. Stay tuned.